Rapid maxillary expansion and face maxillary protraction therapy are a widely accepted mode of treatment in early orthodontic care for young patients with maxillary transverse and mid-face deficiency. This paper is concerned with the effect of this type of treatment on pharyngeal airway. The paper was published in a recent edition of Orthodontics and Craniofacial Research, and it was called Pharyngeal Airway Changes Following Maxillary Expansion or Protraction, a Meta-Analysis, and the lead author was Dr. Lee. This was a systematic review which was designed to measure changes in pharyngeal airway space following RME treatment along with protraction headgear treatment in children or young adolescents. They carried out a standard electronic search followed by any hand searching, and they included studies that they felt were controlled clinical trials with at least 6 months follow-up, and these had to be published from January 2000 to November 2016. The patients chosen were those with transverse maxillary deficiency or a mid-face deficiency. The intervention was any treatment modality that protected the maxilla or applied rapid maxillary expansion. The main outcome measures were confined to two-dimensional and three-dimensional measurements for airway changes. These were either obtained by cephalometric radiography or CBCT. They carried out a standard systematic review process where two reviewers screened the titles, the abstract, and full text articles independent of each other, and any disagreements were resolved by discussion. They carried out a quality assessment using the Newcastle-Ottawa Quality Assessment Scale. At the end of their systematic review, they included 9 studies for final analysis. I have decided to confine my comments on any differences that they detected by concentrating on the CBCT changes, as these are more valid than the two-dimensional changes derived from the cephalometric radiographs. In the nasal passage airway volume, they essentially found that there was an effect of treatment on the pharyngeal airway volume. However, when they looked at the pharyngeal airway below the palatal plane, no differences in volume changes were detected with treatment. Their overall conclusion was that RME and face mask treatments might increase the upper airway space in children or young adolescents. They were, however, cautious, suggesting that the relatively small sample size and the effect of using two-dimensional cephalometric radiography might not completely reflect the exact changes in the pharyngeal airway space. I decided to review this paper because it addressed an important clinical problem, but I would also like to illustrate important points about systematic reviews and their methodology. One of the main reasons of carrying out a systematic review is to provide high-level evidence, and this mostly means that systematic reviews should be confined to only containing randomized controlled trials. When a systematic review includes retrospective studies, this leads to bias because of the inherent bias within retrospective studies. When I looked at the papers that they had included in this review, many of them were retrospective studies, and I can only conclude that this review does not provide high level of evidence. I would also like to point out that when I confined my analysis to the data on CBCT, the differences that they detected were only evident from one very small study, and as a result, I'm afraid that the conclusions that they drew are not supported by the data or the methodology that they used.